So it's that incredible news that's the reason we're here together today. That incredible belief that we have that this one who was dead, actually dead, rose from the grave. That he appeared to others, that he showed people the hands, the holes in his hands, and that he was able to come back and to have meals with them, and to give them instruction, and to care for them, to forgive them. We believe that the one who was dead is alive. And so I want to wish you a happy Easter as we celebrate that this morning. We're going to dive right into it. I had a neat experience a couple of months ago. My grandmother, who's in her 90s, moved from living independently to living in an assisted living center in a different city from where she had been. And she was downsizing from a two-bedroom home to kind of a one-bedroom senior apartment. And so she didn't have room for many of the belongings that she had accumulated over 75 years of marriage, which means that she was going to have to say goodbye to a number of things. And before she had a garage sale to get rid of some of her stuff, she called the grandkids in and said, is there any of this kind of stuff, you know, things maybe that belonged to your granddad when he was still living, things that you would like to have, you know? And so we got to go through a bunch of this stuff. It was pretty cool. I got some stuff of my granddad's. I got, you know, his favorite coffee mug, and I got some antique fishing reels that he and I had fished with dozens of times before, and a big fillet knife that I remember him using on hundreds of fishing trips together. It was all manly stuff, you know. It was stuff that meant a lot to me because it reminded me of him, my big tough granddad, and I picked things that were part of my story because they were part of his story and they meant something to me. Well, then I brought all of that stuff home. I was real excited about it. And then this weekend, my parents came to visit. And when they showed up, my mom said, hey, your grandmother had one more item that she wanted to send for you. And I couldn't imagine what it was. I wondered if maybe they'd come across some more tools or some more cool, you know, sporting equipment or something like that that my granddad had used. And then mom pulled out what my grandmother had sent, and it was this. Yay. I got a bowl. Well, that's what I was thinking inside. I don't think I'd ever seen this bowl in my life. Didn't, you know, bring back any memories for me. It certainly isn't very manly. And I just thought, what am I going to do with that? But apparently, while they were packing up my grandmother's dishes, she actually stopped everybody and said, now, we need to be on the lookout for a bowl that I want to make sure Brock gets. Which sounded really sweet, but I had no idea why. I don't have any idea. Didn't have any idea why she wanted me to have this bowl. Have you ever been in a position like that where somebody's telling you that something is important, or maybe you know that, you know, you're looking at someone, I should recognize that person. They should be important to me, but I can't place why that is so important to me. Maybe you were that student in history class who was constantly asking the teacher, why do we have to study this stuff? Is this ever going to be important for me to know? You know, is this even going to be on the test? Or maybe you were the teacher trying to convince the students that they needed to study it for some good reason. Or maybe you're the kind of person who's not really all that good with names, and, you know, you find yourself running into somebody out in public and you think, I ought to know that person, but you kind of avoid saying hi because you can't remember why they play an important role in your life or who they're supposed to be. And the thing is, even if you know that something or someone is supposed to be important, even if someone tells you that it's important and tries to convince you that it's important, the reality is that if you don't understand why it's important, it's not going to make any difference in your life, right? If you don't internalize why something should be important to you, it's not going to make any difference. So my mom showed up with this bowl, and I had no idea why this should be important to me. I really didn't recognize, I don't remember having ever seen it, but then she told me the backstory. She said, apparently, my granddad bought this bowl for my grandmother on the day I was born as a just something to commemorate, to celebrate the arrival of their newest grandson. And I tell you what, it's not a very manly bowl, but instantly, when I heard that story, instantly this was more than a bowl for me. You know what I mean? instantly, it was a part of my granddad. It was a part of me. It was a part of my story, and you can't have it because it's mine, you know? And now I'm like, hey, I love this bowl. It means something to me. It's totally different because now I understand why it's important to me. Now, I don't know how you feel about Easter. I mean, lots of people say Easter's important. Churches get all excited about Easter and families get together and businesses are closed and people get all dressed up. And it's obvious that a lot of people think Easter's important. But you know, a lot of people think George Washington's birthday is important. And I don't know about you, the truth for me is I can go months at a time without thinking about George Washington. And I'm glad he was born, but remembering his birthday doesn't do much to change my daily life. His birthday is just an event to remember because it happened in the past. It's not all that important to me every year, but I want to tell you why Easter is different. I want to tell you about how Easter's not just important because churches say it's important. About how Easter's not just important because it's marked on your calendar as a holiday. And Easter's not just a memorial to something that happened in the past. Just like this bowl is more than a piece of glass to me, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means more for you, and it will mean more for you when you figure out, when you can understand how your present and how your future are connected to this event that happened 2,000 years ago. It'll mean more if you figure out why it's supposed to be important for you. And that's what we're going to look at for just a few minutes this morning. So if you've got your Bible with you, you can open up with us. We're also going to put the scriptures up on the screen. If you didn't bring one, if you got it on your phone, turn with us to the book of Romans. We're in the New Testament portion of your Bible, and we'll be in chapter 6. Okay, now Romans is written by a guy named Paul, who was really one of the most unlikely followers of Jesus ever. In fact, he became a missionary, but he spent the entire first half of his life being part of the Jewish faith and actually kind of being combative against Christianity. And when he wrote this book, Romans, he actually didn't know he was writing something that was going to show up in our Bible later. He was writing a letter. He was writing a letter to some Christians he'd never met, people that he didn't know, and he was explaining to them the details of salvation as he understood it. Now, chapter 5, right before our passage here, he's been talking about how good God is. He's been talking about how incredible God's grace is. In fact, he said that God's grace was so good that it really kind of shines, it really kind of is at its best when humanity is at its worst. And that brings us to chapter 6, verse 1. And here's what he says. Chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace?" He's talking about, you know, I just said, God's grace really shows, really shines when humanity is at its worst. So maybe we ought to help God look good. Is that what we're supposed to do? He asked this rhetorical question. But then he says, of course not. "Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, and when that happened, we joined him in his death?" Now remember, this letter is written to people who had already made the decision to be Jesus followers. That's why he's talking about baptism in past tense. But I want you to know this morning that everything in here that speaks about a reality for Christians also speaks of an opportunity for non-Christians. What that means is, if you're here this morning and you haven't made a decision to be a Jesus follower, that's all right. You can kind of read over the shoulder here and get an idea of what being a Jesus follower is all about. Paul just said, he says, "Since we died to sin, how can we continue to live in that? Or did you forget? Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined in his death?" And then he goes on and says, "For we died. And we were buried with Christ by baptism." What he's saying here is that everybody who has been baptized into Jesus, been united with Jesus in baptism, he says everybody that's gone through that has experienced a complete life change, like one life ending and another life starting up. And he says your baptism connects you to the story of Jesus. When you give up your old life of living for yourself and exchange it for a new one living for God, It's like being buried and then resurrected brand new, which is why verse 4 goes on this way. Verse 4 continues and says, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father," that's what we're here celebrating today, "now we also may live new lives." And so Paul's kind of connecting the dots, kind of saying, hey, this resurrection thing, it's not just an event on your calendar. This has to do with you. It's not just a day that you celebrate on an annual basis because it shows up, you know, because it just happens to be that time of year. This is part of your story, he says. Easter's not just about what happened in the past. Easter's not just about something that everybody else says is important. Easter is what makes new life possible. The resurrection of Jesus gives us the potential to walk away from habits and behaviors and attitudes that lead to death, and it makes possible a new life filled with purpose and generosity and gratitude. And the Easter story is important because what actually happened to Jesus, what literally happened to Jesus, this real death and being raised from the dead can happen for us. It can happen in a couple of ways. First, it can happen now in a spiritual sense. Spiritually, we can actually receive resurrection when we submit to Jesus, let our old selves die, only to see Jesus create something brand new, somebody who puts God first and who loves God with all their hearts. And that spiritual resurrection is possible now. But there's also a physical resurrection that God offers for those who are united with Jesus. That's what Easter's about. So let me read just a few more verses from this letter. Just a few more. Chapter 6, verse 5. He says, "Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ," here it is, "we know we will also live with him." That's the promise of Easter. That the power that Jesus proved, the power that Jesus demonstrated when he raised from the dead, he's willing to share that power with us now and in the future, because Jesus has the power to give new life. It's an incredible promise, and it makes the Easter story part of your story. Paul wraps up this paragraph, this portion of the letter, with one piece of instruction for us. He says, "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." Consider yourselves alive. This is the exciting part. I don't know if you saw the news story last November about the man on death row in Ohio who had a new life suddenly handed to him. In 1975, Ricky Jackson was sentenced to die for a crime that he didn't commit. In fact, his sentence was based purely on the testimony of a 12-year-old boy. And that 12-year-old boy waited almost 40 years and in his adulthood finally decided he needed to fess up that his testimony was not true, that he had been coerced into saying what he said. Mr. Jackson was the longest serving inmate in U.S. history to be exonerated of his crime. 39 years of his life taken away from him. But my favorite part of the story, I love the fact that, you know, groups were helping him work out all of the legal stuff that needed to happen for him to get out of prison. But my favorite part of the story has more to do with the life that he's decided to live now. You see, prison took away over 2/3 of his life. But he's moving on. He's not dwelling on the pain that he had to endure all those years, all the suffering that he endured because of something he didn't do. Here's what he says now. He says, "I made a promise to myself that I would never be sad or afraid about anything again in my life. I'm tired of being chained to the past." And he says, "I want to be a good man." I want to be a good man and put myself in a position where I can help people and contribute to society. When I read Ricky Jackson's story, it's hard for me to imagine having that feeling of being wrongfully in prison for 39 years, but in some ways, his story's a lot like mine. You see, both of us were stuck. Because of the charges against us, both of us were helpless, but someone came forward and got the charges taken away, and it created a brand new opportunity, a fresh start, and it gave us a new mission to live out for the rest of our lives. It gave us the opportunity to live in response to this new chance. And that's what happened for you and me at Easter. First, Jesus died to save you from your old life, but then he rose from the grave to give you a new one. And he's offering us a new story to live into. He's inviting you. He's inviting me to walk away from being a slave to our old failures and mistakes and selfish behaviors and to start living lives that we were originally designed to live. He's inviting you. He's inviting you to relationships that are healthy and healthier as you grow in patience and kindness. He's inviting you to experience a kind of peaceful contentment that overpowers temporary and tragic circumstances in this life. He's inviting you to discover that living for others is more meaningful than living for yourself. He's inviting you to experience freedom. He's inviting you to live without fear because you place your confidence in God. He's inviting you to experience all of those wonderful transformations. But the thing about an invitation is it doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything unless you respond. And this is the kind of invitation that you can't not respond to. You can't not react to this event, the resurrection. You know, there's a lot of holidays on the calendar that go by without me even giving them a thought. I don't think I've ever done anything festive to celebrate Columbus Day. I know Columbus Day exists, but I really just don't care enough to make a big deal about it. But there are some events that happened in your past that require you to respond. You have to act. You have to live differently because they happened. Think about this. If you don't celebrate your husband or wife's birthday, which happened in the past, then that is your response. That lack of doing anything is your response to that event. And you'll probably regret that response well into the future, right? I mean, you know that. And you know that. And Jesus' invitation to you, this gift of resurrection, is one you have to respond to. If you believe it happened, you can't not respond. If you don't accept the invitation, that is your response. But I hope you will. I hope you'll decide to embrace Jesus as part of your life and to invite him to write the rest of your story. When I think about this bowl and I think about the history behind it, it's a lot more meaningful for me now. It's more than a piece of glass, because now I know why it's supposed to be important to me. Now I want to keep it, even though I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And I wouldn't have looked at it twice before, but now I've discovered how this bowl applies to my life. And the choice is yours. You get to decide whether or not the events of Easter are going to be part of your story, or whether it's just another historical event to commemorate. I want to introduce you right now to two of my friends who are making their decision, their response to Jesus' invitation this morning. I want you to meet Judy and Fidel, who have decided to respond to Jesus this morning. Watch this video.
My name is Fidel Briones.
And I'm his wife, Judy Briones. We decided to be baptized because of the journey we've been through. Everything that we've done, we had a very difficult time with, or we just didn't have any faith. We had no purpose. There was not structure in our life anymore. We've just given up. And when all that was going on, he had gone off to Iraq.
Several times. And coming back from Iraq, I didn't come back complete. I was very separated, if you want to call it. And it was very bad on us. It was very, put a hard damper on our life.
We decided that, hey, it's time for us to start, you know, thinking about maybe having a family. After having our 13th miscarriage, the doctor told us just forget about having kids and just plan on adopting. We went to Walgreens and picked up a pregnancy test that was
on sale, on clearance.
Clearance. And I just remember telling him, God wants it to be, God will let it be. We went to my doctor and she said, oh yeah, you're pregnant. And that was a huge difference in our life, because the last thing I said before taking this test was,
if the Lord wants it to be, it'll happen. And it happened.
It happened. And now we have an amazing daughter that is 4 years old. Her name is Lucia. She keeps us happy. Very, very beautiful and full of life. We're excited about her.
The reason we decided to take the approach to God was because of that one moment. When she said, if it, God wants it to be, it'll happen. And after that, it was, we got invited to church by Amy Taylor. And since we started coming here, it's
life's like, been completely different.
It feels like a boulder of weights just been lifted off. We're happy to be here. I mean, we get excited just to be to church. My daughter gets excited to come to church.
We have a saying on the refrigerator that Brock said, what can you do differently today that, you know, you learned from yesterday and will put an impact for tomorrow? And I can tell you, every day we read that. Every single day we read that. Because it's put such a huge impact in our lives that we don't take for granted anymore. We have amazing friends. We have amazing family. You know, we have a church community that we can always call and say, hey, I need somebody to talk to. And they're there. David Trice, Brock, John, you name them, they're all there. You know, Mr. Bill and Julie, they've been so helpful. We love our church. We love our life now. There's structure. There's love.
There's happiness.
There's happiness. There's a purpose. And that feeling, there is no other. So just being prepared and ready to be baptized is amazing.
I know this is one step closer, but it's not the last step. I can't wait. I'm excited to be baptized.
So we are excited to be baptized, be a part of, you know, our Lord's life and follow through his footsteps, lead an example.
And right now you're going to get to witness Judy and Fidel's baptism.
So look right up there and wave. So these are the guys you just saw in the video, and this is an amazing moment. And your journey has been incredible, and what God has brought you through to get to this point is an amazing story. And I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
About it?
I do.
We're going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins and to just make this an amazing step and a long journey with God.
A lot of us here who have been very excited about this day coming for a while. Fidel made me this bracelet. It's got a cross on it because he wanted to remind me of the one who's making a difference in his life and the one who's making a difference in my life. And I love Judy and Fidel's story because they had this moment when life was really painful. Life was not going well. They were having all kinds of difficulty. And suddenly, God showed up and made it clear to them that his story was part of their story. That moment when they were hoping to be pregnant, and Judy said, if the Lord wants it to be, it will be. And things have been different for them ever since they made that connection. That this story about God they've been hearing was actually supposed to be part of their story as well. And so they said, we're excited to be baptized, to be part of our Lord's life, and to follow His example. And that's why they responded to the invitation this way. We want you to know this morning, we want you to know on Easter, that the invitation is still extended to you. Whether you're already a Christ follower or not, if you've already made a decision to be a Christ follower, Paul says to you, consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. This is the call, that you would celebrate this moment by living differently. But if you're not a Christ follower yet, then we have some ways for you to respond as well. God's calling you. So we would invite you. We have a program here at Heritage we call Starting Point. It's a fantastic opportunity for people who are coming to faith or maybe returning to faith to kind of talk to some others in a similar position and talk to some mentors about the foundations of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We have a brand new session of Starting Point that's starting next Sunday, and we would be thrilled to have you be a part of that. As you leave today, at the end of our services, there's going to be spiritual people waiting at tables at the back of the room, and they are available to you for any kind of response, any way that we could help you take a next step in your journey in faith. And what would be most exciting is if today's the day that you're ready to respond like Fidel and like Judy and to say, I want Jesus' story to be part of my story. I want my life to be united with Jesus in baptism. We would help you take that step as well. But remember, this invitation from Jesus is one that you can't not respond to. You have to choose a way to respond if you believe this really happened. And we do. And we want to share that with you this morning. So we're going to sing together and continue to worship.